Hey there, welcome to the No Holds Barred podcast, your inspirational, in-your-face, and no-bullshit show, where I motivate you to live the life that you deserve, one of crazy fucking ridiculous joy. My name is Eva, and thanks for being here. I am super excited about today's show. Oh my god, I have a great guest with me, and that actually, if you guys listened last week, I was excited about it and telling you about it last week. This is my first guest on my podcast. And it is a very, very good friend of mine. I think I've known Steven now for probably almost 2 years. I'm just going to read off a little bit of a bio that Steven sent me, because there's things that clearly I don't know about him. Steven Webb is the author of How to Create Your Inner Peace, 5 Simple Practices to Overcome Stress, Anxiety, and to Create Your Lasting Happiness and Freedom. He's also the creator of Your Inner Peace Academy, which provides the tools, teaching, and necessary guidance for you to find your inner peace, take control of your life, and live with genuine freedom to fulfill your purpose. Steven broke his neck at 18, which left him severely paralyzed, unable to walk, and needing 24-hour care for the rest of his life. This alone makes him unique among spiritual teachers, with the depth and heartfelt wisdom to live from real inner peace, no matter how difficult your circumstances can be. Steven's adversity did not end after breaking his neck. He's also suffered from loneliness, depression, bankruptcy, losing his family and close friends to suicide. I am so excited to get talking to Steven. One second. Steven's story is not one of sympathy, but one of triumph against the odds. And the reason why I brought Steven on, and I was telling Steven earlier, I said, you know, my audience and my voice is all about, you know, getting over your past, forgiving, stop complaining about your life, blah, blah, blah. And Steven has had some crazy adversities in his life, and he is just the most amazing person ever. Like, if you were to just talk to him without seeing him, you would never know he was paralyzed. You'd never know it, because he's just a warm, gentle, fun, loving spirit. So, you know, I'm going to stop bullshitting and babbling on and on in here. And how about we just bring on Steven Webb? Hello, Steven.
Hello. How do I follow that?
No, go ahead. I know you can do it. I have faith in you.
I love the fact that you swear on the intro, because that means I can swear if I want to.
Of course you can swear. I have to tell everybody that Steven is in the UK, and it's like right now here in Guatemala, it's stupid o'clock. It's like 5 a.m. and I really want my coffee dripped intravenously in my veins right now, because it's like the fucking roosters aren't even up yet. This is crazy. I'm sure my neighbors are probably thinking, what is she doing? Why isn't she sleeping? Go to bed, bitch.
I know. Was it 11 o'clock here? And I'm looking at my dinner now. I'm thinking, straight after this, I'm going to go and have my dinner. I'm always hungry at the moment. Eva, I've had this chest infection now for about 4 weeks. And it seems to not be going anywhere. So I've been on steroids, which means I've been overeating constantly for the last 4 weeks. I've been enjoying it. It's just one of those biggest luxuries in life. We live in a time, right, that we have chocolate and we have ice cream and mint. And they put that stuff together.
Is that all you've been eating, Stephen?
How can anybody be miserable in this life, in this time, when we have mint chocolate chip ice cream?
Well, to be honest, I'm not a real ice cream type person, but as soon as you said chocolate, you had me a chocolate man, because anything dip me in chocolate, yeah, I'm a happy camper. So let's get on with the main topic. I want you to take us back to, if that's okay with you,
I don't know where you want to take me. Yeah.
I want you to take us back to your accident, so people can sort of have a visual as to what happened to you on that day. So I'll just let you go ahead.
Yeah, I was 18 years old. I was a Jack lad, and it was a really hot summer in the UK. And I spent most of the summer in trouble. You know, that summer I ran away from home, and I'd like to think now I was searching for some kind of bigger part of my life, but I just messed everything up that summer. And it was a typical teenage summer. And at the end of it, September the 1st, I was hanging out with some friends, deciding what to do in the evening. And our local school had a swimming pool that was heated and lit up at night. And the local youngsters would go up there, and that's what we did. Normally, we would go up there drinking. But this night, it wasn't about drinking or anything like that. So we just went up there. And at 10:30 that evening, I climbed up the corner of the wall. I walked along the top of the wall, and I did what I did many times before, and I dived into the deep end. And the minute I dived in, I hit the bottom, clearly. But something, a big shock went through my body, and it really hurt. And instantly, I could not move. And I can remember having the sensation of floating near the top, but nobody come and helped me. So I floated down near the bottom again, and I was like, I can't move. I can't do anything. I'm here on the bottom of the pool with enough oxygen to last just diving in and out. And I had this most weird experience of everything just went comfortable and nice. And then panic stuck it, come back in, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of here? But cutting a long story short, I was dragged out by my friends. I was taken to hospital that night, and I had a 12-month recovery period, doing rehab, doing all the things we do in hospital to prepare us for the home life, because by this time now, it was inevitable. I broke C5 in my neck, which is, if you feel down the back of your neck, it's the fifth bone down. Because it went through the spinal cord, I was completely paralyzed. I got no feeling below my nipples. We can swear on this show, so I can say nipples. I got no feeling below my nipples. I got no feeling in the lower half of my arms, and I cannot move my fingers or feel my hands. So I come back after 12 months and started getting on with the life, being paralyzed, being in an electric wheelchair. Well, I was in a normal wheelchair for a while because I was a stubborn ass and I wasn't going to touch an electric wheelchair. That meant I was disabled.
Right.
Damn it.
Right.
And that was one of the huge things I had to overcome, the fact that I was disabled now, and I had to kind of admit to it. But actually giving in and going from a manual wheelchair to an electric wheelchair was crazy, brilliant freedom. But it was one of the most difficult decisions I've ever made. I just didn't want to do it. It was like admitting defeat.
Wow.
It had beaten me.
So, you know, I can go back, you know, 18, having, you know, I was having a good life and hanging out with your friends. It must have been like at 18 years old to know that, okay, I can't hang with my friends anymore. I'm probably going to start losing some of my friends because I can't go out and drink and smoke weed and hang out with them anymore. What is that? I mean, I don't know if you remember, but what does that feel like for an 18-year-old to be sitting in a wheelchair going, oh my God, my life is fucking over?
Well, the real difficult part was the initial, I was 200 miles away in hospital. So my friends couldn't come and visit very easily. I had my family around me, and I had the odd friend that would come and visit every few weeks. But I lost touch with nearly all of them. They went off to university. They went off partying. They were going through the best time of their lives. And here I was, not being able to feel my body, lying in bed. If you ever see a picture of me, I've got a hole in my throat because I had a trachea.
I did see a picture.
And at that point, for the first 3 months, I could not even speak. So I couldn't even have a telephone conversation.
Wow.
And we didn't really have the internet and things like that then, because this was in 1991, so it was quite a while ago. And all I had basically for entertainment was like four channels on TV. And there's only so much you can watch of daytime TV.
At any time while you were laying in bed, or even, you know, maybe the years following your accident, did you ever think of suicide? Did you ever think of, fuck this? This is, I don't want to live out the rest of my life like this. This is ridiculous.
Well, it's an interesting question because 2 months before I broke my neck, I did attempt suicide. I took an overdose and it was over a female. At that point, I thought my life was over. This female had finished with me. But then 2 months later, I broke my neck. And I didn't initially when I was on bed rest because as much as it really sucked, the reality of lying in bed and not being able to move wasn't thinking of a life that I was paralyzed and not being able to do things wasn't as bad as lying in bed and not being able to do anything at that point. And I just wanted to get on with my life, whatever shape that took at that time. And I could see other people, the spinal unit was very, fun's probably the wrong word, but it had an atmosphere of growth and get on with life as opposed to, we're all paralyzed and our lives are over. So I could see other people in wheelchairs that broke their neck a few months on before me were up and enjoying themselves, you know, flirting with the nurses, having a laugh, having a drink, coming back from the pub and things like that. And I wanted a bit of that. But I don't know if I had the reality of what my life really meant living, being paralyzed. At that point, I was just fed up with being in bed.
Right.
The reality of being paralyzed isn't the fact that you cannot walk. That just sucks.
Right.
that's a pain in the ass. But I suffer from what's called autonomic dysreflexia, which basically is if anything goes wrong below my level of injury, my body sends, like if you've got any pain or anything below your neck, your body will send the message to the brain. Your brain says, okay, I know what that is. I will deal with that. And that could be an ingrown toenail, a pressure sore. It could be needing toilet. It could be anything so much as something pressing into you hard or anything like that. Pardon me, I don't know if you heard that.
No.
You might have to edit that bit out. And so if anything's pressing hard into me or anything like that, what happens with me is my body will send a message to the brain, but it doesn't get there. So it goes into an infinite panic loop and causes the blood pressure to go from like a normal, you know, 110 over 60, right up to like 260 over 140.
Holy shit.
So it's a life-threatening condition that after about 20 minutes can give you a stroke or kill you.
Oh, my God.
So I live with that every day, that can happen at any time. You kind of get used to it, like everything you get used to. But that's one of the hidden things of being paralyzed that people do not see.
Right.
It has a really good habit of keeping us awake and alert to life.
Yeah, I know.
It's also like this chest infection. I've got no chest muscles, so I cannot cough.
Oh.
So the non-walking is the big visual impact of it. But in reality, there's a little bit of it.
Oh, wow. Right, of course.
You know, people used to ask me, well, if you had 1 hour to do what you like and you were able-bodied again, I used to, very early on, I would say, well, I would go for a walk, I would go for a run. As much as I would enjoy those things, do you know what? I would have a shower. I would have a shower by my bloody self.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? I don't get to.
That's hilarious.
But it's those little things that mean so damn much.
Right.
And you know, just take them away for a week and realize how good your life is.
Right. Exactly. Let's go. We're going to, because we can talk for hours and hours and we don't want to do that. So I want to go ahead a few years. Let's say, I think it was one time we were talking, I think it was when you hit your lowest depression, bankruptcy. Was that in your 30s? When did shit start getting really bad for you emotionally, mentally?
Well, it was in my mid-30s. I I started up a computer business. And after about 2 years of the computer business, it was clear to me that it was going in the wrong direction. I take full responsibility for that. That's not. But it was, the finances were in that bad shape that the only time that I had any kind of breather, the only time I could eat was the weekend when the banks were closed. I got to a stage where I could not answer the phone. I was terrified. I was lying to people that I was, I've had lunch, I've had tea. And I was able to lie to people for so long because I had different carers, different times. And it wasn't until my partner really called me out on it. And, you know, Stephen, you're 6 foot and you're under 8 stone. I can see your ribs.
What's 8 stone? Hang on. How many pounds is that? I don't know what the... Is that like?
I don't know. How many pounds in a stone?
I don't know what your conversion is. I'll have to check that. I don't know.
It put it this way. You could see every rib.
Oh, wow.
It's really not a healthy weight. And so I declared bankruptcy. And it's just... And then that was a particular hard time, but that didn't hit rock bottom either. And then... I had my partner move in and she had a 4-year-old. And then about 10 years later, on from that, I was 40. And it's funny because I've had so many ups and downs in life. I do enjoy life. But, you know, the universe doesn't go, we've broke his neck. We'll be nice to him from now on.
Yeah, right.
The universe doesn't just work out like that. And so it's about learning to deal with it. But it was 40 when my partner looked up and... Well, I found out my partner had been cheating on me for 6 months. And that was and the next step of dating somebody else and then losing them as well, that was what made me hit rock bottom. And there was one Thursday here when I got a message knowing that, you know what these text messages mean when, because I said, well, why aren't you replying to me like you were? And she messaged me and said, well, I don't know what I want. Well, that hit me like a wrecking ball, you know, just went through me and took every feeling and emotion I had. And it left me absolutely empty, Eva, with nothing. And that was the time, that was the first time I really thought my life was over.
Really?
I thought there is no point. You know, I broke my neck. I've been through this. I've been through the bankruptcy. I've been through heartbreaks and all that. That, you know, but this time was the first time I lost all hope.
Really?
And I just thought, you know, I've spent the last 20 years building my life into something I wanted. You know, this dream of a marriage and build a house and wonderful relationship, all these other things. I always had this dream ahead of me of what I wanted my life to be. And suddenly I felt that all of that was ripped away from me. And I just felt nothing.
Did you feel suicidal? Did you feel not only suicidal at that point, but...
I wrote a note.
Pardon? Oh, you did?
I wrote a suicide note. So I left it on my printer.
So with that,
and I left the house to go and do it.
Really? So at that point, did your disability have a big part in that I'm going to commit suicide feeling, or is it just...
You know what, Eva? It might have saved my life.
Really?
And I say that because I wrote a note on my computer and I printed it out and I left it on top of the printer. Because I wanted them to find it, but I did not want to hand it to anybody. And it was partly a cry for help, partly a thing. And I left here and I just kept thinking about how I could do it without it being painful. And I just did not know how to do it, being in a wheelchair and not influencing, having impact on someone else's life.
Right.
I thought about traffic. I thought about all the other things, but everything I come back to was someone else would have to pick up the consequences.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to do it. It was just
I think it's a help. You know what? I've been there, and you know what? I bet you so many of us have been there, Stephen, where we're just like, fuck this shit. I'm tapping out. I just don't want to go on another day because, you know, it life beats us down sometimes, right? You know, when, and you've had, when you, after you've had so many fucking falls, you're like, I'm tired. I'm just tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't even count how many times I would have loved to have swallowed a bottle of pills and said, good night, Irene. I'm tapping out. I can't do this. And the only thing that ever saved my ass is that I got a kid. And it scares me to think that if I didn't have a kid, would I still be here today? You know what, Stephen? Probably not.
It's the two things you just brought up then is I kept seeing my daughter, my stepdaughter, which she's now 21, doing incredible in life. I kept seeing her at the front line of the funeral, me there, gone. How could I ever do that to her?
Exactly.
So there's that. And the other thing is, we don't, or speaking for me, I did not want the suicide to be final. I just wanted a freaking break.
Yeah.
Just please get rid of this fucking pain for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, time out. And I mean serious time out. I don't mean time out and
Right. Just give me a
you know, we
month,
just
man. Hey, just a month, and then you can like revive me after a month, and I'll be all brand new, and my life will be fucking perfect. I
Stop the train. Let me fucking get
know.
on.
Yeah. So let's go now. We're gonna go ahead because obviously you're not suicidal. You're not depressed. I mean, independent of your
Okay.
chest infection. We're going to fast forward now to today, where you've built this lovely little sort of community in this business of this coaching business of helping people. So let's go to today as to what your not just your mental health, but where you are today in how you are how you've embraced your condition and how you are today and how you help people. Because I know. And with my page and my audience, you know, I hear a lot of people complaining and whining, complaining, why I have this and oh, this sucks and that sucks. And I'm like, stop your fucking whining already. And it drives me crazy. So, how do you deal with, I mean, because you're a perfect example of stop your fucking whining. I mean, look at you. You are paralyzed and you are probably one of the most loving, gentle, sweetest souls I know. So, take us to where you are now and how. You deal with not only your condition. I'm sorry if that's a bad word to use. I don't know what other word to use. And how you got to where you are today. Let's talk about that.
There's the one way I look at life is, you know, once it's here, what can you do about it? All the jumping up and down isn't going to make me walk. All the complaining and the moaning and becoming a victim is not going to make me feel better. And also, the other thing is, you know, my daughter might phone up in a really bad mood and they're really suffering and all that. Me being miserable is not going to pick up her mood. So I don't hold the world's problems on my shoulder anymore. You know, me being miserable is not going to cheer anybody else up. If anything, it's going to bring them down. And the other thing is, we often look at the other side of life as some kind of utopian, that utopia that is wonderful and amazing. You know, well, Stephen, if you hadn't broke your neck, if you hadn't done this, you'd have had a wonderful career. You'd have, but how the fuck do they know?
Right, exactly.
I might have driven the car 3 weeks later, ended up a lot worse condition than I am, or I might have killed someone and ended up in prison for the rest of my life. You know, we don't know the alternative to our traffic jam is better.
Right.
And that really puts everything in perspective for me. You know, would you rather be in the traffic jam or the cause of the traffic jam? And you know, we're just moaning about everything for the sake of moaning. And yes, there is time, be a victim sometimes, then snap out of it and get on with your life.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I agree with that. And I always tell people, you know, we all have problems. Nobody's life is perfect. And if anybody tells you their life is perfect and they're happy, that's bullshit. We all have issues or problems. And it's okay to stay in that spot and whine and cry and bitch and throw things and be angry. Yeah. But don't stay there too long, because you get stuck there and it's a fucking hard time getting out of there. That's rock bottom, man. So stay there, embrace all the feelings that come with whatever that you're dealing with, and then hurry up and get out. Get out.
Yeah. You mentioned loneliness, and loneliness is a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
It really is difficult. You know, all humans, all living things have this. From the moment we're born and this separation happens, we have this intrinsic need to come back to home, to be part and connected with everything. And that's what we spend the rest of our lives trying to do, this connection. Yeah. Spend the rest of our lives with someone in a group, community, partner. But the reality is, I forgot where that was going.
That's okay. So
loneliness. Right. Be in the loneliness. You know, if you want to be lonely, go and sit on the edge of the bed and do this. Next time you're lonely, or any of the listeners are lonely, go and sit on the edge of the bed, go quiet, and think that you're the loneliest person in the universe. You're now the only one left. There isn't even a planet for you. You're floating in space. There's no trees left or anything. You are now lonely. That's lonely. You're on a planet with 7 billion people,
right.
Animals, trees, nature, and you're fucking lonely.
Right.
Seriously?
Go find somebody.
So you know, if we sit in that loneliness and we experience real loneliness, we realize we're not lonely.
Mm-hmm.
If we experience being a real victim, we realize we're not really.
Exactly. You know, I like that point that you made about loneliness, because I know personally for myself here where I live, when I'm feeling frustrated or upset or lonely or just fed up, I'll just put my shoes on and go out and go for a walk, and I can walk down the street and say hi to a million people and talk to, you know, a bunch of kids. And within 10 minutes, I'm not lonely anymore. You've got to take that first step, which I think is really hard for some people to do. Some people can't put one foot in front of the other to get out of whatever shit mood that they're in, because staying in misery is comfortable, and changing it or turning it around is fucking hard. So we stay in misery, and that's what happens to too many people. I'm just going to stay here. It's comfortable. I'm going to wallow in my self-pity. Yeah. And I can say that because I did that after I left my abusive relationship, or while I was still in it, the last 6 months I was in it, and after I left, I thought, oh my God, I can't fucking deal with this. Everything is wrong in my life right now. I have nobody to talk to. My life is shit. And I could see myself spiraling down. And I thought, okay, you know what, Eva? Girl, you need to get a grip, because this is not how you're going to live the rest of your fucking life. So smarten up. Yeah. It's taking that first step to saying, no, I want a better life.
Yeah. And it's also worth remembering, it comes down to understanding and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware that we're not hardwired to be positive.
Right.
We are hardwired to focus on being a victim. We're hardwired to focus on the bear that's going to kill us.
Right.
Because there's no second chances there.
Right.
So it's becoming aware of who we are, what we survive as humans, and using that to our advantage rather than just playing to it.
Right. I think people are afraid of their emotions, actually. I think people are like,
absolutely.
Like if you're going to, if there's a break, let's just use a relationship breakup for an example. You know, let's say John just dumped me and oh my God, then you know, you're sad. And it's that fear of, that crippling fear of, this is going to hurt. I'm going to be alone. People are going to ask me questions. I'm going to, you know, it's all of that. And people are afraid to face all their emotions. So they put this sort of facade on. I'm happy, I'm okay, I'm strong, I can handle this, my life is perfect. Well, it's not, and you're blind, because it's not, it's okay to feel these horrible emotions that John just dumped your ass and it hurts and people are gonna talk and who gives a shit? Feel your emotions, face them, and then just move, grow from them. This is where we learn.
And it's a whole process.
Absolutely.
You know, first be, you know, my first reaction was I was completely numb. Mm-hmm. I felt nothing. It was like this wrecking ball went through me and took every... I thought I was never going to love again. I thought I was never going to be able to feel anything. Mm-hmm. It was... I rebooted completely. Just took a long time. And then I had all the questions. Then I was mad. Mm-hmm. Then I was the victim. I had to go through that process. But it took me a while. And I tell you why I was so... It hit me so hard. Is because my whole future had been ripped away from me in that moment. Right. They didn't take away that moment's relationship that day. They took away my next 40 years.
Right.
Because in my mind, I'd built up the next 40 years of marriage, holidays, this blissful life that I was now going to live with this person. Mm-hmm. They ripped 40 years of happiness away from me.
Right.
And I've realized now I'm not promised tomorrow, next week or next month. So nothing's ripping all those things away from me because they don't exist yet.
Exactly.
The only thing I'm promised now is how do I feel right now? And those are the questions we should ask day in and day out. Not so much every moment, but if we get a moment during the day, just reflect, how am I feeling now? Mm-hmm. What's arising now?
You know, and I have a friend here that he's always like, oh, Eva, just be here now. I'm like, dude, it's easier said than done. We all want to be here now. And I get that whole inner peace and be here now and just be happy. And, you know, Abraham Hicks talks about, you know, just be happy now. Just be happy. That's all the universe just wants you to be happy, which I try. But it's hard to fucking live like that. It's hard to be here now because we are creatures of what's going to happen tomorrow. What am I going to do tomorrow? Oh, my God, what if that doesn't work? And that's the way our mind works. We're just programmed like that. I think we're all hardwired to go, oh, my God, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Protect ourselves.
Exactly. So that whole be here now, and I always say, that whole be here now is bullshit. I don't want to be, I can be here now, but I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow.
See, this is why I have the whole think positive is bullshit. Right. You know, it doesn't exist. And someone comes along, and I've done it. I've preached think positive enough in my life.
Me too.
And when people come and say that, or when I see a meme or something like that, just think positive and you'll be happy. I just cringe at it now because this is what happens. Someone comes along and think positive and they tell you how to do it. And then something bad happens. And then they think negative. And then they think negative because they're thinking negative. Why can't I think positive? And then they think something's wrong with them. And then they think a negative. And it becomes a vicious spiral of 99 negative thoughts and one positive one.
Right.
And normally the one positive one is because someone's pointed out that you're not dying.
Right. Well, you're not dead. Oh, well, there's hope then, I guess.
Right. So this whole just think positive. No. What it is, and even like you said about being living in the moment, I get that. It's so easy and so subtle, it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. We've spent our whole lives, and we still need to a degree, plan ahead. Mm-hmm. You try driving if you're not looking ahead in the road.
Oops.
Exactly. But that's our whole life. We have plans. We have, you know... Yeah. What we're doing. But the thing is, it's where we're actually living too with what is arising in this moment. And this is why I like to have the odd reflective question. Instead of just sitting there and going, oh, this is wonderful bliss and the birds are out and everything like that, which is great. Lovely time out. But that's not living.
Right.
That's not living. Living is understanding and being aware. And this is why I say ask questions. Mm-hmm. What's going on right now? Why am I feeling like this right now? And it always comes back to the why. Why am I feeling lonely? Solve those questions.
Right.
Don't, I am lonely. I am this. Say, why am I feeling lonely in this moment?
Have you ever?
Why am I feeling happy here right now? Why am I feeling fucking miserable right now?
Exactly. Have you ever listened to Dean Graziosi?
I do, yeah. I listen to his podcast at the moment.
Okay. So when we were at in Arizona last year at the Growth Summit, he was the lead speaker, and he has the seven, and you'll see where I'm going with this, he has the seven levels of why deep. So, and he uses that, the seven levels of why deep, for your goals and your success and your dreams. Why do I want this? Why do I want this? You know, that whole thing. But you can also take that seven levels of why to your personal life and go, okay, why am I lonely? Why do I feel like this? Why am I stuck here? You know, and start digging deep and asking questions to yourself till you get to the final question and go, okay, well, why am I feeling like this?
Yeah.
Right?
We're always asking questions. Why does this person do this to me? Why did he chop me up in traffic? Why are they not seeing and understanding me? Well, I'm sorry, we don't understand ourselves. So how are we expecting anybody else to understand me?
Right.
You know, we don't know how to make ourselves happy. Yet we're expecting a partner or somebody else to make us happy.
Exactly.
And that's what's so ridiculous with this. Yeah. You know, we're playing the victim because we're expecting the world to make us happy in some way, give us what we need.
And yet
we don't even know what we need ourselves.
Exactly. And, you know, also I think that, you know, people say, you know, why did this happen? And why did they hurt me? Or why did my body, whatever, right? But people, I think, often are forgetting to, there's a lesson behind every single thing that happens to you.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lesson behind it. So you can either bitch about it, complain and moan and whine about it, or you can stop and take a look at, okay, what is this here for? Why is it in my life right now? What is it showing me? And what is the lesson that I need to learn from this? And so many people don't do that. They just want to go, fuck that. And this is fuck bullshit. Look what happened. And I fucking hate my life. And well, just stop for 1 second, you know, like get angry, get pissed, and then put it away, like pack it up and send it away. And then, okay, why did this happen? And what am I going to learn from this? And then move on.
Yeah, exactly. See, I don't subscribe to fate, and I don't subscribe to everything happens for a reason to a degree. I believe there's a lot of causes that we, through what we do, but I don't believe the universe is up there literally going through a book and planning stuff to happen to us. But I do believe that everything we go through, every experience we have, every feeling, emotion, every external or internal experience, or everything that ever happens to us, there's always something in there. There's always a gift to be taken from it somewhere. You know, sometimes you have to look really hard. Sometimes you even have to get out of the way and get over it before you might see it.
Absolutely.
But there is a gift. You know, if someone pisses you off, if they hold up a mirror to you and say something that triggers you, that pisses you off, great. Why are you mad? Because it ain't that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's happened in your life. It's something you care deeply about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've yet to come across a human, even the when I was an asshole, and even the assholes that are still there in life, I've yet to come across one that doesn't care.
Right.
They might not care what you care about. It might be an illusion compared to what is important to you, but it's still something that they care about.
Right.
And if we remember that, we stop this hostility with everybody else, and we can turn it on ourselves. What do I care about?
Right. Well, it's that whole finger pointing, right? People want to, oh, well, he did this and he's that. I think it's a Rumi quote where there are, the person you see, I'm going to fuck this up. What you see in you is what you see in me, or whatever. You know the quote, and I'll drop it in the description maybe, or maybe not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But I mean, we are reflections of each other. I really believe that, especially people that you're interacting with. So if John is pissing me off and John is saying something, and it's because there's something in me that, hasn't healed yet, and John knows which buttons to push, but I haven't healed from it yet. And there's something that is in John that's in me. That, you know what I mean? Like, it's that.
Yeah. Everybody's a mirror.
Everybody's a mirror. And people don't realize that. They just don't. So I want to, because we're already almost an hour here, so I want you to give out some Stephen Webb wisdom here right now. So if there are any listeners right now that are feeling low, feeling shitty, feeling like my life's fucking sucks, I hate this, I don't want to do this anymore, how can I overcome this tragedy, whatever, what would you like to tell the listeners who are in a really bad spot right now? What would you tell them?
First thing I'd say is, you know, take a deep breath. Take a mindful breath. Be aware of it. And then it would be nice if I could give you some real deep wisdom that's going to change everything. But the reality is, the deep wisdom is simple and it's right there all the time. And that is, everything is temporary. This time will pass. And it will pass by quicker if you take a deep breath and you allow life to flow through you. Stop fighting it. The thing is, we spend so much time using the metaphor of going through a really busy station. And we're going through that station. We're trying to go through the best way possible. And we're bumping into people. And we're so rigid. And people are pushing us around. The reality is, if you just go through that station and you go with the flow of the people and you go with the thing, you may not get to where you want to go to in the straightest line, but you will eventually get there. And you'll get there in the flow of life as opposed to fighting it. Because fighting it is not going to change anything that's happening. Just allow life to flow through you. You know, the thoughts are not yours. They're flowing through you. The feelings are flowing through you. You know, you get lonely. You are not lonely. You get depressed. We have feelings of depression. We are not depressed. When we think we are these things, there's no overcoming them.
Right.
Because you cannot be something else. I cannot turn myself into a tiger. So if I believed I was a, you know, one thing, so if I believe I'm depressed, I can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have a feeling of depression, it means that I'm not depressed. It's just I'm there at the moment. And all of these feelings, and I would urge anybody to look up the Rumi poem, The Guest House.
Okay.
Because everything comes and goes. Every feeling is just a visitor to the house. Every emotion, everything you're going through is just a visitor. And it's here, like you were saying, for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just allow them to come and go like clouds.
I've never heard of that poem, The Guest House, and I like Rumi poems and quotes and stuff.
Oh, it's incredible. You'll have to put it in the description. It really is. You know, he says in the poem about some people are here to give you warmth and give you stability. Some people are here to clear your house out.
I'll have to
welcome them all.
Welcome
them all.
Absolutely. And you know, you made a good point about everything is temporary, and I am a firm believer of that. And you know, it's funny because I sometimes, not very often, but every now and again, I talk about death because I'm not really afraid to die. I don't think of death as anything horrible. I mean, I don't want to die. Obviously, I still have lots of shit to do. And I hope to have another 50 years on life here, but everything is temporary. So I know that no matter what my troubles are, no matter how good I feel or no matter how bad I feel, it's all just temporary. And it's all going to pass. I mean, I've gone through some pretty horrible shit in my life too, but it's all just temporary. And everything that we go through, good and bad, makes us and forms us to who we are today. And you can either use it for the good, or you could use it for the evil. And suddenly I sound like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. But you can, how you take your experiences and everything that you've gone through your life, it's how you deal with them and how you take them that's going to make or shape your life today and tomorrow. So you have choices. It's up to you to decide, okay, you know what? Yes, this is bullshit. I really don't like what's happening here, but it's just temporary and I'm going to get through this.
and stop watching daytime soaps.
Right.
They make you miserable. They are designed to make you feel better in life. So you feel that little bit better that your life isn't as shit as theirs.
Right. You should just not watch television, period. I know,
but we've got to start somewhere.
Stop watching the fucking news.
Yes.
God almighty. So I'm going to thank Stephen. Thank you so much. This was a blast. I really enjoyed this. This was a great first interview podcast. So thank you so much. I know it's you have to eat lunch because it's your lunchtime and I probably need to go back to bed or something or have more coffee. I don't know. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to drop links in the description as to where people can find you. Your website and programs and courses and stuff like that. Stephen Webb, if any of you listen to Insight Timer, which I do, Insight Timer is free. Stephen Webb is on Insight Timer as well and has an amazing go to sleep meditation. I think it's like an hour long. I never make it past the 6 minute mark ever. I'm like sawing logs, honest to God. But you can find Stephen on Insight Timer as well. I'm going to drop a bunch of links. Is there anything you want to leave the listeners with, Stephen?
Yeah, I put to sleep about 500 people every night. And I had one review on it, which I've had hundreds of reviews, but one review said it was brilliant. They gave it 1 star out of 5. And they said I couldn't review it because I went to sleep in the first 3 minutes.
Way to go, Felicia. That's hilarious.
No, thank you, Eva. I've enjoyed doing this. It's been good.
Thank you so much. I'm going to say goodbye to Stephen. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for being here. I really hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please give it a like, please review it, and don't forget to share it out. That's all I got for you guys today. And I will catch you all back here next week. I love you guys. Bye for now.